All right. Thank you, Renee. That's the way it ought to be with us. Never get too used to the blessings of God. Amen. Stay amazed at them. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Job tonight. If you'll go to the Psalms and then go to your left, I think you'll find the book of Job. If I'd have said to you, turn to the oldest book in the Bible, it would be the book of Job as far as the time it was written. Now, it does not have events in it that go before Genesis, of course. But far as the time it was written, it is believed by scholars to have been the oldest of the books we have in our canon and our Bible. And Moses, of course, wrote the first five books, the Pentateuch. God used him. And there's a little bit of mystery about Job. There's a little argument who wrote the book of Job and so forth. But Job is a book that pulls the curtain back a little bit and lets us see some stuff behind the scenes that we might not quite understand, but we understand enough of it to know that a lot of that is what we don't understand today in our struggle of life. Job certainly didn't know what was going on. But the wonderful thing is he trusted God anyway, amen? And what a lesson that is for us. We'll just go to Job chapter 1 and 2. And I'd really love to read both chapters. We can't take time to do that. I want to say this. I want to kind of put a title on it for the tape room. I'm going to say, when Satan was both right and wrong. Some of what he says is right. Some of what he says is wrong. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. You know, a lot of folks see both sides of things. I'm amazed, and I know I've got some good friends that are lawyers. I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying it is amazing to me how a lawyer can argue for the side he knows is wrong and then turn around and argue for the side that is right. You do know what I'm talking about, don't you? I remember one time years and years ago, had a bus accident, and we wound up in court over it. And the insurance company sent a lawyer, and the crowd that was suing us sent a lawyer. And I thought they were going to fight in the courtroom until lunch break. And then they were the biggest buddies you ever seen. Made me sick. I said, we went out to eat, and they all got around the same table. I said, hey, that's the enemy over there. No, they said, don't let this get through to you. This is the way it works. A lot of hypocrisy in the world, folks. I'm telling you, there he is. But Satan was right and Satan was wrong here. A little mother had a baby grow up and turn out to be a well-known lawyer. And one of her friends asked her, said, did you ever think that baby would ever grow up to be a lawyer? She said, oh, yes, when I watched him in the crib, when he'd roll over on both sides, I knew he could be a lawyer. A little truth to that, I fear, sometime. But I want us to look here in Job, and we're going to read just a few verses. Let's go to Job chapter 1, and we'll read about six verses, maybe, 6 through 12 here in Job chapter 1. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, by the way, in a sense, Satan is a son of God. See the little S here? The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, or rejects evil, in other words. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Watch this. Now he changes to the other side of the street with the word but. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Take his goodies away. Take his wealth away. All that he hath, and he'll curse you. That's what Satan says. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now let's remember, the first challenge here is to take what he's got. His houses, his wealth. And that's exactly what Satan is allowed to do here. And the news begins to come to Job that everything is lost. His family, his kids, they're feasting together in the house. And the storm comes up and the enemy comes and steals the herds and cattle. All his wealth is gone. And yet if you go to the last verse of the chapter, chapter 1, in all this Job sinned not nor charged to God foolishly. So the devil was able to take everything he had, and yet Job passed that test. And it says the first word in chapter 2 is again. So here comes the devil again. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, I don't understand that, but he's able to come into the presence of the Lord. Again with another challenge. And the Lord said unto Satan, from thence comest thou? Satan answered, the Lord said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him. And watch the next line, without a cause. Job hadn't done anything wrong. But Satan was able to take everything he had, his family, his wealth, and so forth. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. It's an interesting thing. You get over to Hebrews chapter 2, you find out that the Bible tells us that Satan has the power of death. In Hebrews chapter 2, around verse 14, it tells how Jesus took on flesh like the children, like you and I, that through death he might defeat him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he ripped the power of Satan. And while Satan had the power of death, it says that Jesus destroyed him there in Hebrews 2:14. So that's a very interesting thing. There's a lot of stuff about the devil revealed in the Bible. It reveals a lot about Satan. Over in Isaiah 14, we find out that what started the fall of the devil was his pride. He wanted to put his throne above God's throne. And we find out that he is our adversary. He is our accuser. It also, and this is a powerful thought, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can resist Satan. We can resist him. We need to be careful about talking about him and joking about him even. The Bible speaks of him as a dignitary. Over in the little book of Jude, we find out that Jude talks about him and warns us about it and says that even Michael the archangel, when disputing with Satan over the body of Moses, and that opens up another can of worms, but somehow Satan wanted the body of Moses after God killed Moses and buried him on the mount. Satan somehow could use his body. I'm not sure. I could make a theoretical guess, and that would be that he wanted to see if he could get the people to worship. And you know, a lot of leaders, the old Lenin, you know, they put him in a glass casket over in Moscow, over in the square. I saw him, you know, when we was over there. And they'd roll him out in that cold weather and all that, but still you could go up there, and I felt so sorry for those soldier boys. They'd have to march back and forth all day long in that icy ground in front of the tomb of Lenin. And somebody said, what was that all about? Well, they were airing their dirty linen in public. That's what they were doing. I just kind of made that up. But anyway, the truth is people came to worship a man that's enslaved millions and caused millions to be killed in the overthrow of the government there and all of that. But Satan is a dignitary, and the book of Jude says, be careful that Michael the archangel didn't rebuke Satan directly, but he said, arguing over the body of Moses, the Lord rebuketh thee. In other words, he came through, this is God's command, not mine. I never forget when we were watching the videotape, and a real, real genuine thing of a preacher I know and his youth leader casting some real devils out of a demon-possessed girl, and how that the youth leader slipped up one time and said, I rebuke thee, and boy, the demon just jumped all over him. See, you can't rebuke the devil, but in Jesus' name. And when the old pastor took back over, he started using Jesus' name and the blood and all that and got the victory. And, I'm not making up something. Many of our folks here saw what we were talking about. But he's our adversary. He can be resisted. We need to be careful in our approach about him. We find out in Revelation 12, he's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's doing right here in Job. He's the accuser. He's walking to and fro in the earth. He comes, and the Lord has taken notice of Job. The Lord says, I got a man down there that's got a testimony. He's a man I can trust. He's a man that'll pass the test. Have you considered him? And Satan begins to say, well, no wonder you've given him everything. You built a hedge around him, and you just let me take his wealth, and he'll curse. But he didn't. See, Satan was wrong there, wasn't he? Job didn't fall. And he said, let me touch his body and he'll curse you. But Satan was wrong again. Now, there's some verses here where Satan is also right. If we kind of look at this a little bit tonight, we can see that he does say some things. Now, Satan was right in verse 111. Look at what he says in verse 11 of chapter 1. He says, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Was he right here? No, he said he was. He says most people live by the stuff they get a hold of and accumulate and hold on to. He's talking about most men. It's what he said is true about most men. That's where he's right. Where he was wrong was when he said all men, because Job didn't do it. He didn't fall. In chapter 2 and verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Now, is he right? Generally, yes, with all men, mostly right. Mostly right. They had the one exception, of course, and of course that was Job here in our text. It is true of most men, generally true. And somebody says, every man has a price. Well, Job didn't. But generally, that is a true statement that Satan is making. All they have, they'll give for their life. All they have, they'll curse you if you take it away. That's what he was saying. Every man has his price. We see that true today. We see America sending our jobs and money and corporations and everything out to China and all that. What's behind that? Covetousness, money, somebody getting rich, somebody making off of it. That's man's nature. And so Satan's right. He's describing what man is. And listen, the 10th commandment, big 10 commandments, the 10th one, thou shalt not covet, covers the rest of them too. You know, it's an amazing thing, the covetous nature that we all have. Somebody said they saw two little toddler-like boys riding a little tricycle. One of them in the seat, one of them on the back step. And as they went by, they heard one of them say, if you'd get off, I could ride this thing better by myself. You ever notice how people want it all for themselves? All? It's a sad truth, but that's our nature, folks. We have to fight that. What the devil said here about most men is generally true. They have a price. See that in our day and time. But Jesus said this about the things we possess. In Luke chapter 12, when the rich man had a conversation with his soul before he went to sleep, said, I'll build bigger barns to hold my stuff. You remember what Jesus said? He said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then the next statement we missed, but here's the next statement. Then Jesus said, and then whose shall these things be? All you've accumulated. Do you ever think about that? What are you going to leave behind? Preachers are sometimes put in a position, lawyers very much put in this position, to see families fight over the stuff that's left. And that's a sad thing. I've seen that. I've seen dad or mom die and the kids just fight each other over the junk that's left. Oh, that's a sad commentary on humanity, but it's so. It is so. Too much of the time, it's true. And have some deep scars over this. We see that. But this old thing of Satan being wrong about Job, but he's right about men generally. Now, today we think about the economy thing. What people will do to compromise. I think about the sports scene. I did not watch any sports today. In fact, I haven't watched any in a long time. They've made me sick over the compromising they've been doing. And I don't intend to start. I don't know what happened today. There was a ball team walked out the other day, and at least one, the pitcher, would not bow. And he said, I'll only bow to Jesus and God. And I appreciate that. But most of them are making some kind of big, stupid show. By the way, I was flipping through up there a few nights ago, and can't flip much channels in West Virginia, not where we live anyway, but some part of the news, a team was coming out making whatever gesture they were making, and the crowd was booing the fire out of them. Now, I'd love to have seen all that booing part anyway. Truth is, we may have more Americans out there if we could just wake them up. Just get them to stand up, wake up. It might be a much better thing. But, you know, Satan is talking about the economy here. I did see this, and I think I saw this several days ago. I saw where the group that's breaking the windows, you know, demonstrating and all that. And saw them out in the street and the burning and all that. But I saw them go in a restaurant where people were eating. And they were saying this, no peace to eat. And we let them come in there and got around the tables unless you make our sign, the clenched fist. Did you anybody see that? Well, you need to go back a little bit and see what sign the clenched fist is. Go back and check it out. It's communism. It's communism. It's the evil rule. Had the clenched fist was a definitely identifiable sign in the Bolshevik revolution and all of that. Now, they went in that restaurant and said to these people around the table, either you raise the fist, which means you're with us, or you don't get to eat in peace. Now, I like to eat, but not enough to ever sell my soul for something like that. Amen. What a ridiculous thing. And I saw that just about everybody in the restaurant raised their fist. I saw one couple that didn't, and I didn't see the rest, what happened to them. But I want to tell you something. That is where we've moved to in America. So to speak, peace at any price used to be something we hated to say when we was fighting communism. But the truth of the matter is, it's moved right in, just oozed right in to where we compromised our values. And the devil was right here when he said, a man will just about do anything for a price. If you touch what he's got and you take it, he'll curse you. He was right on that with the general man, general nature of man, but he wasn't right with Job. Now, he was right again here in verse 4 of chapter 2. For a man to save his life. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. I've been disappointed during this shutdown thing. That how many folks love their life more than they seem to love God. Love their life more than they seem to love the church that Jesus loved and died for. I mean, God might yet take me out with COVID, but I'll tell you what, I'll stand unashamed in his face that I didn't compromise what I believed and preached and stood for all these years over the fear of losing my life. By the way, what's the difference in whether you live 6 more months or 6 more years? 1,000 years from now, that would mean nothing, right? Why don't we add things up just a little bit? Sell your soul for just a few more days of the earth's pottage. It's amazing how it goes on today. But a man, save his life, anything for his life. You know, in history, we see and read history and find out all the bad things that happened. But still today, recently, right now in Islam, The Muslims are cutting heads off if you won't convert to Allah. It's not hard. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to pray at the altar. You don't have to get up and confess Allah as your Savior. All you got to do is say three times, Allah is great. So all the various prisoners they've had over there, they'd come in, you either say Allah is great, you convert to, by saying Allah is great, or we chop your head off. That's going on today. Whole villages are having to face that. Churches are having to face that. And the good news is some of them are getting their heads chopped off rather than renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it would be in America today. I fear it wouldn't be something we'd be proud of, the way I'm seeing some stuff going on today. But there'd be some exceptions. Job was an exception. In it all, he didn't sin with his lips, the Bible says. In it all, he didn't charge God foolishly. In it all, he didn't compromise. He didn't understand. He even thought God was his enemy, perhaps. At least not helping him. But he still kept his integrity. Even when his wife turned on him, he still kept his integrity. Job is somebody you ought to study a little bit. See, Satan was wrong about Job. He's been wrong about some others. I was reading a story where parents were killed in front of the kids because they wouldn't convert to Islam. I've read where kids were killed first where the parents could look because they wouldn't convert to Islam. Terrible, terrible thing. But Revelation 12:11 talks about, says, the Lord commending folks that love their lives not unto death. And it says, if you read it close over there, Revelation 12:11, if you read it close, it says unto the, T-H-E, the death. Not death, but the death. There is a particular death that takes place in the book of Revelation called the death, and it is the beheading. It is the beheading under the kingdom of the Antichrist. And here's a group that would not take the mark of the beast. They love not their life unto the death. They suffered the death, the beheading, rather than sell out. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that ought to shame us just a little bit. What does it take for me to compromise? What does it take for you to compromise? What does it take for you to sell out your convictions? What does it take for you to renounce everything you've always claimed to believe? Well, just your life. Well, I'll tell you something, you can't hold on to it nohow. Excuse the nohow, but there's no how you're going to do it. It's coming one of these days. It's upon the men wants to die. It's not that we fear death so much as it is we fear how we're going to do it. And we fear something we don't know about, we haven't seen on the other side. But Satan was wrong here about Job. He was right about men in general. No doubt about it, he was wrong about Jesus, remember? Didn't he ask Jesus to bow down and worship him? Didn't he say, won't you turn these stones into bread if you be the Son of God? Remember that? You know what? Satan was trying to get Jesus to fall like he got the first Adam to fall in the garden. Who was Jesus? The Bible calls him the second Adam. We better be thankful the second Adam didn't fall. Amen. Satan was wrong on Job. He was wrong on Jesus. I fear he's too right today on too many of us. A little bit. Little pressure that makes us compromise. Too bad. We apply it to our day. I believe we're living in the fallen away period before Jesus comes, the Laodicean church age, where it's lukewarm. I don't know how close to the trib we are. I know the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that we are not appointed unto wrath. I like that. But you know what I do believe I see? I see the wrath getting closer. I see the hate increased. I see almost everything that is godly being attacked, perverted, lied about. It's an amazing, amazing thing today that is happening. I believe the rapture must be soon. I believe that's true. And if it is, then you're taking a great chance to put off receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. It can happen so quick. I've said this so many times since the COVID thing that came. how quick it changed things. Who could have predicted how quick it would be? Who could have predicted the many avenues of freedoms and all that we lost in this thing so quick? And I want to tell you something. If the tribulation period breaks, God's people are called out, it's going to happen that way. Freedom's going to be gone. Control is going to be everywhere. It's going to be a bad thing. Satan has a plan. He has an agenda. He wants to get you, get your soul, if he possibly can. I've read some awful stories and know them to be pretty well true. Satan is a lot stronger in some parts of the world than he is. America was a Christian nation. In God we trust. We still believed in that. And I want to tell you, that puts us under an umbrella of protection against the devices of the devil more so than some places. I can name some places where voodoo and everything else invites the devil in big time. And I mean very, very, very real. And the truth of the matter is, it's going to happen to America. See, you can't have a void. If we're not going to have God in, we're going to have the devil's crowd in. If we reject the Lord and his blessings and his power, we're going to have the devil with all his tricks moving in. I started to say, and I know the story of a family that was into a spirit, supposedly a family spirit, one of the devil, and how that they had to bargain with the devil for an unborn kid that they would give that kid. That was the price in all that blackness and evil of the devil. And it's a very, very real thing. But when the kid came and began to grow up, could make a choice themselves, began to reject that family inheritance of the devil, so to speak. I want to tell you tonight, you can reject him, you can resist him, you can flee from him, but you better flee to somebody else that's stronger than him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that you've got. You're going to look out for his tricks. You've heard me tell the story before. A preacher, I believe, said he dreamed this. He said he dreamed that somehow he was able to go into the chambers of the devil, into a satanic meeting among his demons and devils, having a big meeting. And he was able to witness and overhear this. And the story went like this. He said Satan was up saying, "What can we do to get man? What can we do to fool men? What can we do to get their souls? What can we do to keep them from trusting Christ and being saved?" And said one demon jumped up and said, "Your Highness, I got a plan." He said, "Let's hear it." He said, "The plan is I'll go back down to earth and I will tell them the Bible's not the Word of God. I'll tell them that Jesus was a fraud, that he died and stayed dead. I will tell them that there is no way to be saved." The devil said, "No, that plan won't work because the Bible is proven itself." He said, "That plan won't work because the resurrection is known worldwide to be true." Another demon jumped up and said, "Your Highness, I've got a plan. I will tell them over there, just go ahead and live for us all you want to. Enjoy all you can of our pleasures. And go ahead and do that. And then right at the end, you can be saved. Right with your last breath." Satan said, "No, I don't believe that'll work. I believe man, as dumb as he is too smart for that, because he never knows when his last breath's going to come." But then a demon jumped up and said, "I've got the plan." Satan says, "What is it?" He said, "It's this. I'll go up to earth and I'll tell them the Bible is the Word of God, that it's true, that the gospel is true. I'll tell them that Jesus was the Son of God, that he loved them and died for them and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. I'll tell them that they can believe on him and be saved. But then I'll tell them, put it off, you've got plenty of time." And Satan said, "You know that will work. that's the plan we'll follow. As a preacher, I can tell you I've seen a lot of folks following that plan. Not quite ready yet, preacher. One day maybe, but one day never comes. They procrastinate till there's no more time. I believe that plan is in force today. I believe the devil is reaping, gaining, stealing, destroying souls because they wait too long. I got plenty of time. No, the truth is, you may not have tomorrow. You may not have tonight. I say to you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is right about you. You love things of the world. Yes, you do. You love your health. I mean, you'll just place it above everything. He's right about that. But could he be wrong about you rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ because you think you have plenty of time? Could he be wrong on that? I hope he's wrong. I hope there's already been a time in your life you received the Lord Jesus Christ. But if not, I pray you'll do it tonight. Because hell is watching as well as heaven as to whether or not you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still time. I don't know how much time you got left. I've preached to a lot of folks in this very building that thought they'd be here the next week, but they were not. They thought they'd be here the next Wednesday night, but they were not. They've rushed out to face God a lot quicker than they ever expected. Young people, older people, people in health, people in poor health. They didn't know. They didn't know, but it happened. How would it be with you tonight if God called you like he did the rich man in Luke 12? How would it be with you if your soul was required? How would it be with you? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Don't let Satan be right about you. Don't reject Jesus for the things you can gather up and covet. Don't reject Jesus even because you think you're healthy and you got plenty of time. Don't listen to the devil's lies. Jesus said he's a liar, that Satan's a liar. And he's a major deceiver. And he'll deceive you right on until it's too late if you let him. I pray you will not. Would you stand with me, please, with our heads bowed? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we've been somewhat simple tonight. But, Lord, we think about Job. We think about the test he passed. We think about the devil using all the tricks and devices that he does to reach and keep men lost. And, Father, probably the greatest tool in his toolkit is telling folks they've got plenty of time. Maybe somebody here tonight that's already made up their mind, I'll get saved one day. I'll get saved after I get married. I'll get saved after I get out of school. I'll get saved after this and after that. But the Bible says we know not what another day will bring forth. The Bible says now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. I pray tonight as we give an invitation that whoever might be here, they're here because you led in their lives to get them here, to hear what they've heard, and now it's decision time. I pray they'd come and receive the Lord Jesus and not take a chance on pillaring their head tonight, not sure that heaven is their home. May you bless the invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, whatever God's asked you to do, will you come? Will you come as we sing?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever
will you come, will you come?
And trust him in his presence.
Will you come down here and see one of the staff here, myself? Let us know if you want to be saved. How about it? Will receive you if you'll receive him.
I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me. I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
You know, the world jokes about procrastination, that kind of stuff, but it's probably the most dangerous thing and the tool the devil uses. My. Probably some of the saddest wails and cries that'll come out of hell is I had the chance, but I waited too late. Waited too late. That'll be a terrible thing, won't it? All right, we encourage you to serve the Lord this week. If you're saved, tell somebody else. You know, this world is shaking and trembling, and a lot of folks that don't know much about God know something's wrong, and they need some answers, and you and I have the answer. We can pillow our head in peace because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who wins. We know whose side we're on. Amen? And we need to share that with everybody that we possibly can. I believe the world is ripe right now for a good witness from God's people, and we need to be faithful to do that.